I'm Ms. Kramer with Mission Network News. Extremists attacked a Christian village in Upper Egypt a week ago Tuesday. They burned down dozens of homes and a new church building in Minya Governorate. Riyad Jabala of the Voice of the Martyrs Canada says police arrested the arsonists. However, Orthodox Easter is May 5th, and the threat of violence still looms. As a body of Christ, we can be aware of what's happening, pray about it, talk about it, and encourage these believers. And are you celebrating Easter this Sunday? The Eastern Orthodox Church follows the Julian calendar and is in the middle of Holy Week. Denise Godwin with International Media Ministries encourages the global church to pray for fellow Christians in Orthodox countries like Russia and Armenia. Even in cultures with decreasing respect for the Christian faith, Easter is a time where people pause and think twice about God. Now that you know, would you pray for God to move? Find your place in the story at missionnews.org. Mission Network News, a service of One Way Ministries. I'm Ruth Kramer.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
All
engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hey, folks, welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Wednesday afternoon. Glad you have tuned in. And Doug, where's your drink, brother?
I don't have a drink. I'm just flustered right now. I'm like, I think I was talking to you and just, well, first of all, I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. Actually woke up at 3:30. Do you ever have that? You know, you got to get up early and then you wake up. I usually get up on SWAT days about 4:15. And so I just didn't feel like I could go back to sleep.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of sat there. You ever do that, lay in bed and you just sit there and your mind is thinking and you're just thinking of things you got to do. So I laid there. Yeah. I got up, had the first SWAT. It was great. And then went and did a quick little workout and then second SWAT. And but my voice is about shot. I had a meeting right after that, the second SWAT. And so I come out of the meeting and Lori goes, she goes, were you sleeping in the truck getting a fighter nap? And I'm like, I wish I was in a meeting.
Well, I thought I saw your truck down there. Yeah, I didn't see your truck.
Yeah. So well,
you must have.
I went and got a drink.
Yeah. Or are you still on Dunkin' Donuts?
Dunkin'.
Okay.
Dunkin'.
Man, what are those people over Starbucks?
Dunkin'.
No, you have to drop into Starbucks, and that's your mission field over there.
Yeah, I go by and say hi to him. Yeah. In fact, the manager asked me to pray for him. He's a great guy, Josh. I like Josh a lot. Just don't like the company, you know. But
I know.
Anyway, man, a lot of stuff going on. You know, we were talking yesterday about the protesters, and man, the police finally went in, Brad. They went in up in New York. They went in California. And right now it is quite the show out there, you know. thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan is a man. He brought me some water. I tell you what, this is the best station ever, man. You guys are awesome.
I love it. Yeah,
And Brad, there's even a cough button over here.
Well,
side?
I need to be sitting over there.
There's a cough button over here. I just noticed it, man.
Man.
So that means I can push that and
Wilson,
clear
up,
my throat,
bud?
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's wild. I didn't even know you could do that. So that's cool. Well, no, just getting back to the news, Brad, like they were playing some of the, you know, playing some of the interviews of the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really wild because you've got this wide gamut of people up there. Some people have no clue. They can't even tell you where Gaza is. They don't know.
Yeah.
They couldn't tell you where Palestine is. They're just out there because it's a protest and they're going to protest. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And how many agitators are in there? I mean, people that aren't even students. I think that's one of the things they're realizing is that there's a lot of people who are being paid to be there and to do this.
Yeah. One guy said you could get $3,000 for an 8-hour work week. That's not bad money.
No.
To go up there. But here's the thing. If they would have shut down what was going on at Columbia, a lot of this other stuff wouldn't have been happening. Because I think they arrested something like 200 people, 200 protesters up there. And the UCLA was pretty bad out there. They were getting pretty physical.
Hey, were you... I think I've asked you this before. Were you in a fraternity at college?
No, I was not. I was into baseball, and I did not do the fraternity thing. I was too busy trying to make it on the Mississippi State baseball team.
Yeah, I was that's probably what I should have been doing.
See, you were a natural golfer. See, you had all that natural ability.
It's interesting. A lot of schools won't let you go what they call Greek. Yeah. If you play a sport, they don't want you to do that. But I did, and I was reading this article about these UNC students, these fraternity brothers who defend reinstated American flag from campus mob who replaced with Palestinian flag. Now, I can tell you, the fraternity that I was in would have done this. Patriot guys, some ended up going to serve, made a career of it. And this is the kind of stuff you like to see. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's a whole lot good going on in college campuses, but this was encouraging.
Yeah. Well, this world we live in, and you were down there today at SWAT, and you heard one of the questions was about our future and things where we're headed. And I was encouraged last night. I saw in the news that even up at Columbia there were two young men that stood up to the mob. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hire those men, get those men exactly out there, let those men get hired that would be willing to go, because we live in such a culture right now where people are afraid to stand for truth. I don't know if you saw about the middle school girls who, there was a boy athlete who pretend to be a girl.
Yes.
And these two middle school girls protested, and they've now been banned from all future competitions by the West Virginia School Board.
You are kidding me.
No. Is that not
crazy?
Yeah,
wasn't it a track competition or something?
Yeah. I mean, they're banned from all future, that they protested this trans, it was a boy who was participating, and again, it's insanity. It's absolute insanity to say that a boy can be a girl because the DNA doesn't change. He's a boy. He's not a girl. And they protested, and now they have been banned simply for speaking out, saying, hey, we're not going to compete against a boy, because this is a girls' track meet. Mm-hmm. We've lost Title IX.
Yeah.
In fact, the whole idea of the definition of a woman now, wasn't that the question asked Ketanji Jackson, mm-hmm. Judge Jackson, mm-hmm. can you define what a woman is?
And I'm not a biologist.
but there's five states now that have sued the Biden administration because he is revising the Title IX code to make it sex gender, not mm-hmm. sexual orientation. Right. Yeah. But I mean, not your gender, but sexual orientation and gender identity. And so it's ridiculous. Title IX is supposed to protect women. It was a government.
Natural
and yeah,
women.
Yeah. Well, women who are women.
Yeah.
I can't really go to the place of saying that there's a woman who isn't a born. I mean, you're either born a woman or you're born a man, period, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So they say.
Yeah.
but who am I? I'm not a biologist.
Well, but yeah. But I think you have, what do you have? You have four daughters or three daughters?
I have three girls.
Three daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got six daughters between it. I think we know what a woman is.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much. Yeah. You change enough diapers, you can see that pretty clearly.
Well, and listen.
But I'm a redneck.
Yeah, but you saw all your daughters grow up, and you had boys in your family just like I did. There is differences. There are gender differences, and they're God-ordained gender differences. Mm-hmm. Now there's always going to be people that maybe buck that because we live in a broken world, and so you may have one or two or a certain percentage of a small percentage of women that maybe aren't as nurturing.
Yeah.
But by and large, women across the board are much more nurturing than men.
Yeah.
Men.
And praise God.
Yes.
For that, right?
Yes. Yes. Because we need that, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's like Al Mohler said, thank God for women who marry men and keep them from all the men from dying, basically, mm-hmm. because we do stupid things, right?
We do stupid things. But
well, it is a beautiful day in here in Jacksonville. In fact,
and we have a window to see that now.
Yes, we do. It's nice. I'm not sure how it is where it is, but we're so grateful for all the people that listen up in Virginia. And also, in fact, when I was in Kentucky the other day, I met some people from Virginia Beach, and they are familiar with the Lighthouse. So we're glad to be carried on the Lighthouse up in the Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, Portsmouth area, and then in Meridian, Mississippi on WMER and also WMOX, and here on The Truth in Jacksonville, St. Augustine, and up in Folkestone, Georgia. And if you're just tuning into SWAT Radio. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And the SWAT radio broadcast spawned about 7.5 years ago out of the SWAT Bible studies. And we are getting ready to kind of come to our summer break, Brad. It's hard to believe we're already here.
I know. I'm already missing you.
Yeah. And we will be doing some on and off broadcasts through the summer.
Yes.
We'll be doing some. Sometimes we'll be do best of. We'll be replaying.
What are you thinking? Like, let's do a book over the summer?
Yeah, we're going to do a book on sanctification.
Oh, that's right.
That's a fancy word for growth,
yes.
Basically.
I made a lot of notes today on the teaching about sanctification since we won't be here, you know, tomorrow. I mean, since
I won't be here next week.
I may have to call in to, you know, share
my
thoughts.
You're going to be driving to Chicago, right?
That's right. I'm going to Nashville for a baby shower, and then on to Chicago, then back to Nashville, and then back home. But good teaching this morning. Always like to encourage those listeners who maybe aren't in a small group or in a men's Bible study. Come join us in person, man. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. You know, Brad, as we get ready to go into the stuff on Herod Antipas, I was just reminded of something I shared earlier about speaking out against government leaders or evil, you know, whether it's abortion or whether it's sodomy or immorality. And I heard there was a guy last night being interviewed, a Jewish man, and he goes, "Where's all the people speaking up for the Jewish people here?" I mean, like, he goes, and he even said to the host, who was a graduate of UCLA, he goes, "You're a graduate there. Why are you not speaking out? Why are people okay? Why are they okay with some of the things these people are saying that is anti-Semitic? It is against the Jews. It is, I mean, like, and they're denying the Holocaust. They're denying October 7th. And nobody's speaking out against it." And he's saying, our government leaders are silent. The Christian leaders are silent. And here's this man, this Jewish man saying, and he's right. We should be calling folks. Call your congressman, call your senator. Hey, what are we doing to stop bullying, to stop this kind of, it's not protesting, it's not a peaceful protest. All you got to do is turn on the news and see, it's not peaceful.
Yeah.
And we as citizens can exercise our voice. So I encourage you, call your congressman, call John Rutherford, you know, call your senators and say, please, do something to help get this away. Yeah. Pray and ask God to raise up leaders that will be voices for the victims out there.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, glad you tuned in. We're going to take a quick break. Feel free to email us at ask@swatradio.com. ASK@swatradio.com. That's ASK@swatradio.com. You can go to swatradio.com, click on the meetings tab, check out where we meet in person. We'd love to have you there. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Argyle at 91.7.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost.
Hey, amen to that. He's a pain taker. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary here on this Wednesday afternoon here on SWAT Radio. Glad you have tuned in. And for those of you who made it to the SWAT Bible study, either this morning or at lunch here at the Salem Center, it was a treat. And we're going to be covering that next week. So we're always on radio a week behind. We've already kind of covered a lot of what we're covering this week. We did last week in person. That's why we always love to encourage you to, just get plugged in. We absolutely love having you guys in person. Obviously, we want you tuned in here on the radio, but at the same time, it's nothing like being in person. If you're new to SWAT, again, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. Our mission is rooted in the biblical understanding that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. And man, do we have some strongholds in this culture today, Doug.
Yeah, we do. We've got strongholds. The enemy is roaring, isn't he? He's going around like a roaring lion. Yep. But we have the lion that can take him down.
That's it.
We've got Mufasa. Ooh, say it again. Mufasa. Did you ever see that movie?
Of course, man.
Yeah, it's
more than once, I'm sure.
Well, Brad, we are finishing up today this text about Herod Antipas, and you talk about evil. This guy was an ungodly, wicked, wicked leader. And Monday, you and David kind of started, and yesterday we got into the fact that when you look at Herod's life, he's a complete opposite of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, servant of God; Herod, servant of man. Mm. Not in a good way. I mean, in fact, servant of Satan. How about we just say that?
Yeah.
John the Baptist is a man who had deep convictions. Herod had no convictions. I mean, his convictions were he was walk the middle of the road, wanted to please everybody, make everybody happy. And so we looked at that yesterday of being, he was apprehensive and afraid, and he's representative of all ungodly men. All ungodly leaders, they're all like this. They put up a facade of being tough and like they're really something to be feared, but inside they're weak, they're apprehensive, they're afraid. They have no certainty or conviction. They're unprincipled and unrestrained. And at the end of the day, they're all just insecure people pleasers.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at the unprincipled part today as we see what really led to the killing of John the Baptist. This story is sandwiched in Mark in between when Jesus sent out his disciples and when they come back. He sent them out for the very first mission trip and empowered them and pretty much fired all the religious leaders in the world at that point, because all other religious leaders other than God's religious leaders were false anyway, right?
Right.
And his religious leaders were failing miserably and had been for hundreds of years. So when Jesus commissioned the 12 disciples and sent them out, they have now been elevated. They are top tier leaders of the church, which is top tier leaders for God in the world. They are the new leaders for God's people. And you either follow them or you reject God. Because Jesus said, if you reject, people who reject you reject me, and people who reject me reject the Father. And so the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Levites, the scribes, all those religious leaders that were supposed to be caring for the people got fired when he sent them out. And then as they go out and they're doing all the things they're doing, John the Baptist is basically brought up here because Jesus' popularity is growing, and Herod thinks that it's John the Baptist reincarnated because he killed him. So this is a recounting of how John the Baptist died. Mm-hmm. John the Baptist had been in jail for about a year, maybe a little longer, and we saw that Herod on yesterday, we were talking about Herod. And from the text, how he said he thought it was John. Jesus was John because Jesus' popularity was growing. And the miracles he attributed to the fact that John the Baptist had come back from the dead. And he said, John, whom I beheaded. He knew deep down what he did was wrong, but he did it anyway. And he did it, it said, because Herodias, his wife, who he was illegitimately married to, wanted John the Baptist killed because John the Baptist kept speaking the truth. What you've done is wrong, Herod. You need to repent. You need to turn to the living God. And Herod would listen to him. And it says mm-hmm. he listened gladly, probably because there was a fear there,
right.
But it was more of a fear of John. In fact, it even says that in the text. And so,
but he had a greater fear of man.
Oh, he had a great fear of man. He was afraid of disappointing because he wanted his power base out mm-hmm. there, even though he didn't really have a lot of power. But what happened in verse 21, it was Herod's birthday. In fact, why don't you read verse 21 through 29? That's the last part. You can read 21 through 29, and it's the last part of the text. And we're going to look at these two principles today of an ungodly man being unprincipled and unrestrained and basically an insecure people pleaser.
Yep. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 21. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I'll give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. Verse 29, when his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. These are the very words of God.
So Herod's birthday comes along, and Jews did not celebrate birthdays with a big party then. Romans did, but not Jews. And it was basically like a men's picture bachelor party, mm-hmm. if you will. Mm-hmm. But it was for the power brokers of Galilee. It was the tax collectors, the military leaders, powerful Jewish leaders. Remember the Jewish leaders called the Herodians? The Herodians were Jewish leaders who were sympathetic to Rome. And so they tried to befriend Herod for political advantage. And so it was those men. And it was pure, unrestrained immorality. And, you know, when I read this, Brad, I immediately thought of Tail Hook. Do you know, you remember the Tail Hook scandal with the Navy? Did you remember that?
No.
You don't? It was a big news story. Tail Hook was a party, or it was actually a, it was a conference or a gathering of Marine and Navy aviators. But it was back in the 90s, right after I got out, it came out that every year they would gather in Las Vegas, you know, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And so there was this big Tail Hook Association symposium. But apparently 83 women and 7 men were involved and improper and indecent conduct at the hotel. Now, this stuff's been going on for years, but there were sexual assaults. It was very open, it was bad. According to some people, there was pretty much a gauntlet of male officers that made like a, you know what a gauntlet is, mm-hmm. like a receiving line, more right. or less, yeah. but it's on mm-hmm. both sides. Where the women would go down and they would be groped, molested, and all this other stuff as they were going and assaulted. And there was public nudity, all kinds of a big alcohol. It was a big, big scandal. And that's what I thought of when I read about this, because this is the kind of party it was. Hmm. This was not your typical friendly, family-friendly birthday party. And so Herodias' daughter was Salome or Salome, and according to Josephus, and she came in and did a vulgar, seductive dance in front of all these drunk, immoral men. And just thinking about that, Herod allowed it.
Right.
This is not something that royalty would do, but he allowed his daughter to do it. One, because he was hoping these men would give him donations into his coffers, right? And so he was happy because she apparently was attractive and she did it seductively. And so she pleased Herod and his guests, it said. And in verse 23, he made this foolish vow. He said, "Ask me whatever you want and you can have it." And, you know, lust mixed with pride and power is a very dangerous cocktail. And that's what happened. He made this offer, ask me whatever you want. And, man, talk about
half the kingdom.
Yeah. And that was a phrase. In fact, if you go back to the book of Esther, when Esther went into the king, he was pleased with the queen. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Esther, ask up to half the kingdom and I'll give it to you." It was a phrase that just basically meant, ask me whatever you want. I'm in the palm of your hand. Mm-hmm. I'll do whatever you want. I'm so happy with you. And to do that to Salome, the daughter of Herodias, was not a good thing, because her ask, well, she didn't know what to ask. She goes to the mother. And the mother says, "Okay, here's my opportunity. I want the head of John the Baptist." Mm. So she goes back to Herod and says, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter. And when we come back, we're going to see what happened."
That's messed up. Hey, glad you tuned in this afternoon. You want to call 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. Email us at ask@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Republicans ramping up their oversight of federally funded universities amid the ongoing anti-Semitic protest on campuses across the country. Bob Agnew reports.
When it comes to the sometimes violent demonstrations, Speaker Johnson says,
"We all know what is happening around the country right now, and House Republicans are here to do something about it."
And by Republicans, he means every House committee and members of the leadership, like House Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
"We're asking all of our committee chairs to look into the billions of federal taxpayer dollars that go to these universities."
Republicans say they may use the power of the purse to demand changes in university policy, and in some cases, the dismissal of university presidents who are failing to keep Jewish students safe on campus. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has met with Israeli leaders in his push for a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas to impress on them that the time is now for an agreement that would free hostages and bring a pause in the nearly 7 months of war. Also at SRNnews.com, a federal judge ruling that some North Carolina government's restrictions on dispensing abortion pills are unlawful.
Some of North Carolina's government restrictions on dispensing abortion pills, like requiring doctors to prescribe and provide the drug to the patient in person, are unlawful because they frustrate the goal of Congress to use federal regulators to ensure the drug is distributed safely. That's according to a ruling by U.S. District Judge Catherine Eagles in Greensboro. Other restrictions on the drug mifepristone that were challenged, such as requiring an in-person consultation 72 hours in advance, an in-person examination, and an ultrasound before prescribing, are not preempted and can remain. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
The Dow ahead 154 points, the NASDAQ down 52. This is SRN News.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. This is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
There's major delays because of a crash on I-95 southbound before Emerson Street. That's blocking the right lane. Also, there's an accident on I-95 southbound at 8th Street. And there's a broken down vehicle in St. Johns County on I-95 southbound at the ramp from County Road 210. Partly cloudy tonight, low 69. Thursday, mostly sunny, high 84. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
Wish I pull, go back and forth, finding myself pounding on a locked door. I try to make it out alone without your help, but I know I never win this war. I can never be free without you. I can never be me without you.
Yeah, I think I'm hearing something.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm in.
There we go.
Yeah, we go. There we go. Jonathan came to the rescue. Man, what would we do without him? Between water and rescuing us, you know, we have little gremlins in here that come in and they do things, and either that or Wilson fell asleep in there and fell on a button.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
So anyway, Jeremy gets. When does Jeremy get back, Wilson? Next week. Monday. Wilson's going, whew, I'm glad, man.
That's good. You've done a great job, Wilson. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, this is Wilson Fonville. His address, in case you want to send him hate mail, is, no, I'm joking. Wilson's a great guy. I love Wilson so much.
Hey, let me make one more plug in case that didn't go out over the last two or three minutes while we seemed to be silent. Eric Metaxas, the author of the book Letter to the American Church, he's been instrumental in putting together a documentary about the book. And you can go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com. The documentary is going to be showing here in Jacksonville May 22nd at Grace Life Church. That's a Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Man, invite your pastors, invite your elders, your deacons, your friends, church members. This is going to be quite a documentary to see, and I'm planning on being there myself.
Well, you know, Brad, we were talking about what happened after Herod made this foolish oath, and we see really the last part of the text, 24 through 29, reveal that really ungodly men live life as insecure people pleasers. They all do. They're all insecure because they can't be secure.
Yeah. Well, their security is found in the approval of man.
Or money or power. Or position. But all those things are temporary. Yeah. So it means that their security is temporary. And so in verse 24, she asked her mom, "What should I ask for?" And like I said before we went to break, it says immediately with haste, she went and said, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And it says, verse 26, the king was exceedingly sorry. He was sorry. Why? He was sorry because he knew that John was a good man. And I'm convinced that when men, no matter how evil they are, when they kill one of God's children and they can see they're one of God's children, they know it's wrong. They know. It doesn't matter. You know, I was thinking about those. Remember those guys on the beach that were beheaded for claiming to be? And they told them, renounce Christ. Renounce Christ and you can be free. You know, confess Muhammad is what they told them. And they didn't, and they all were beheaded. Those men who killed them knew. Just like when Paul was there at the stoning of Stephen. He knew it was wrong. And I'm convinced that Herod did. And it says, but because of the oath and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. Ungodly men only care about the popular opinion and things that are politically expedient. Everything is always done with the camera in mind, the crowd in mind, the social media in mind, politics in mind. And so verse 27 says, immediately the king sent an executioner, and he went and he beheaded him. And verse 28, brought the head on a platter, gave it to the girl. The girl gave it to her mother. Now just stop for a second. I want you to think and picture this. And I know it's graphic, but this is the text. This is what it says. I want you to think of what kind of young lady this was, that she would celebrate the head of a godly man on a platter and then give it to her mother gleefully, to give it to her. I mean, that is a messed up young lady. That's a messed up woman, and that's a messed up man. And, you know, because you see the messed up woman and the messed up young lady, you can almost guarantee that there's a messed up man there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because Herod lived life as an insecure people pleaser. And so it says in verse 29, his disciples, that means John the Baptist disciples, heard of it, took his body and laid it in a tomb. And over in Matthew, it says, after they put his body in a tomb, they went and told Jesus. And it says, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. He went away, and he was sad. But I believe he was sad. He knew where John was. He knew that John was with the Father. The sadness was more than likely because of the rejection of John by the people of Israel.
People.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who? Where were the Herodians that were there? Those Jewish people. Why weren't they standing up saying, "This is wrong, Herod. Don't do this. This is wrong." And he ultimately knew they are going to reject Jesus.
Yeah.
Just like they're going to choose Barabbas, in this case, they chose Herod over speaking up for John the Baptist. And Brad, this is where I see issues for us as a country. When is the church going to speak up about the evil around us?
Yeah.
Listen, you do not have to be ugly. You don't have to be mean, but silence is consent.
Yeah. Made me think about what we were, what you were teaching even today, that Jesus had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you see there. Israel rejected John. Israel rejected the messenger. They rejected the message.
Yes, they rejected Elijah. He was the Elijah getting the path ready. And you know the other thing, Brad, is I think Jesus was getting a preview of what was going to happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, beheading was considered a merciful way to kill somebody. It was a merciful execution. Did you know that?
No.
It was considered very merciful because it was quick.
Yeah.
It was a swipe of the blade. I mean, it wasn't, it was a quick axe that, like, one swoop and your head's chopped, you're dead.
Yeah.
Think about the crucifixion.
Yeah.
Hours up on a cross. It's considered one of the most torturous and painful ways to die. And that's what Jesus did for you and me. And what he saw in John, the rejection of John, was a preview of his own rejection. And so Herod is an ungodly leader, and he reveals to us an ungodly man who lived life apprehensive and afraid, no certainty or conviction, unprincipled and unrestrained, and as an insecure people pleaser. And he murdered John the Baptist. The greatest man, Jesus said, who ever lived prior to Jesus being here.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Great story. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Call us this afternoon, 844-777-7928. If you've been in this study with us, you may have some things you want to talk about. We've got some takeaways when we come back from the break. We'll kind of dig into those. You can email us at ask@swatradio.com. If you've got a question or comment about the text we've been discussing, we'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Mandarin at 91.7.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high. Best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top. Hold on for the sudden stop. Breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug and Brad here on this Wednesday afternoon. Glad you tuned in. Again, if you want to call, 844-777-7928. We'd love to hear from you as we wrap up our study here of Mark 6, 14 through 29. You know, Doug, some interesting things. You know, so oftentimes you read a text or you study a text, you want to go back and really dig into this as we have. Just some good points here.
Yeah, you know, here's the bottom line about Herod. Herod, and again, we're talking about Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas was the son of Herod the Great. He was the son of Herod the Great, who married Herodias illegitimately.
Mm-hmm.
One of Herod the Great's other sons, named Philip, married Herodias originally. But Herod Antipas was Herod the Great's son, and he was a weak, a murderous, lustful, proud, and wicked man who was dominated by this wicked and scheming woman named Herodias. And it's very similar, Brad, to Ahab and Jezebel. It really is. They're very much a New Testament picture of that Old Testament couple. But he's a picture of an ungodly man in a leadership position. And, you know, John the Baptist, like we said, was the exact antithesis of Herod. And if you looked at it from the world, everybody would probably think that Herod had the upper hand on everything, that Herod, you know, but in the end, John the Baptist finished faithful and entered into the joy of his master and heard, "Well done, John. Well done. Good job. You did well. You finished well. You gave your life. You never cowered. You never stopped speaking the truth." And boy, he is just a great example of a man who had conviction, who lived his life preaching and teaching unafraid and bold.
Yeah, bold. That's exactly
what I think. We need bold men. We need bold.
Yeah, and I think to your point, you know, we look at all the things that are happening around the world, and where are the bold, courageous men?
Yeah.
Where are the John the Baptist? We got a lot of Herods out there. Can I just say it? I mean, this is such a picture of an ungodly man in a leadership position.
Mm-hmm.
And man, this tends to be more common nowadays.
It's very much common. And, you know, when you think about, I mean, just think about it in our culture right now. You hear voices every once in a while. You'll hear an Owen Strand or a Virgil Walker or John MacArthur or James Coates up in Canada. But you think about the country when it was founded, Jefferson, Franklin, you know, Washington.
Yeah.
There were a lot of men unafraid back then, right?
Right.
But you think about our culture now, who are the guys who are really standing up, speaking the truth that you go, wow, that man's speaking the truth and representing Christ well, but he's unafraid and bold to speak the truth out there. It appears like a lot of times, Brad, the politicians, they've always got an agenda. And I'm, you know, even good guys.
Oh, I was going to say, this isn't on one side either. This is on all sides.
Yeah. I mean, when you think back to our country, you think of Robert Payne, you know, Knox. These names like Samuel Adams.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't a beer. He was a man. And you know what I mean? You say that today, people think he's a beer,
right,
but he was
right.
a man, right? And so.
It reminds me, we need to have David Barton back on.
We do need to get him on because he's good. But so let's talk about quick takeaways. You know, am I living bold and courageous for Jesus in the world in which I live? Or am I living apprehensive and afraid? We all have to wrestle with that. You know, the Bible says there will be no cowards in heaven. If you're living apprehensive and afraid, you need to ask yourself, why? Why am I afraid? What can man do to me? Nothing. I'm in the hands of the Almighty God, right?
Yeah.
And I need to live with that conviction. Am I living with the certainty that Jesus is King and he's always with me? This feeds right into that, which if so, that would typically make me a man of conviction. Or do I compromise? Do I compromise? It's so easy in the culture we live in today because we live in a cancel culture. And right now, we're being asked to do things. That's why these middle school girls were so brave. Kudos to them for standing up and saying, it's not right.
Yeah.
Where are the dads?
Well, and that's probably the result of good parenting.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Mm-hmm. Where are the dads that are standing up alongside them saying, hey, this is wrong? I mean, when you got an attorney general who's filing a lawsuit against middle schoolers over them protesting a transgender athlete, Houston, we got a problem.
Yeah.
Right? We have a problem. I mean, that attorney general needs to be booted. Of course, you know, our whole system's corrupt and we don't find our solace in our government. But we live in a country where we still have representatives both at the local, state, and federal level, and we should let our voices be known to those people. Call them. Hey, this is wrong. What are we doing to stand for truth? You know, we are just being... having it crammed down our throats, these lies. And it's not that we have to even say, okay, if you want to believe that way, it's fine. We're having to affirm that it's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You can't just be in silence. You've got to actually affirm these things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole deal. So, you know, we need to pray that more people will be bold. Do I live with restraint and principles in this immoral world in which we live? You know, Brad, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, this is the will of God, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And it goes on to say, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God. That is so clear. There's no ambiguity there.
Yeah.
And yet, one survey said that 40% of pastors struggle with pornography. 40%. When it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not talking about slipping. We're talking about active searching.
Mm-hmm.
And so am I secure enough in Christ to make the right choice over an expedient choice? Let me give you an example. You're out there in the workplace. Your employer comes to you and says, listen, you know what? I'm sorry, but we've got a new policy and you have to affirm all transgenders in our office. So you will refer to them as a he if they want to be a he. Doesn't matter what their gender at birth was. The only thing that matters is this is our policy. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Are you going to bend because you don't think God can take care of you? I mean, you may lose your job, but maybe God has another job for you.
That's right.
I mean, are you going to cave in? I mean, that's what we've done, Brad. That's what's happened in our country. People are afraid, and we've been bullied into silence.
Because we serve the Almighty dollar.
Yeah.
More than Almighty God.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We are to be a people of truth. And we don't always do that. So hopefully this has been a reminder. And, you know, am I going to make an expedient choice or a right choice? Do I care more about the approval of man or the glory of God? That is the bottom line. What do I care most about? There's lots of examples out there, stories, funny stories, joke stories about, you know, I can't remember the exact story about it, but it was about compromise. And it's not a matter of if you'll compromise. It's just a matter of what your price is.
No doubt.
You know?
No doubt.
I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, when people, like, is there any amount of money that could get you to walk away from Jesus?
Nope.
No, because we know ultimately what? That does not bring mm-hmm. eternal satisfaction.
I saw a great image. I think it was this morning. Yeah. You may have seen it before. It's a picture of this shack mm-hmm. next to a picture of this mansion. One says the poor man, one says mm-hmm. the rich man. Mm-hmm. And underneath each house is an 8-foot by 4-foot grave.
Yeah.
It's the same for both of them.
Yeah.
That in the end, it's the same.
You're
going into the ground.
You are. We all. Yeah. We all do. I remembered the joke. It's, would you sleep with me for $1 million? And a man says to a woman, the woman says, sure. And the man goes, well, how about 10? She goes, what do you think I am? He goes, we've already established what you are. Now we're just bargaining about the price.
Wow.
And that was the joke. But the point is, yeah, you proved you would compromise. It's just a matter of what will cause you. Let's not be people who compromise. Let's be people of conviction.
Amen.
Hey, tomorrow, again, we're going to have Andrew Davis, the pastor from North Carolina. Friday's going to be Perry Bowers. I hope you'll listen to those best of. They will be really, really good.
SWAT Radio. Join us.